I know I personally find a lot of motivation in feeling into the people that I am surrounded by, whether that be my friends or whether that be my wife, because it helps me get out of my own way. It helps me find that deeper part of myself, which is like, this is more than just about me. This is about us. This is about we. This is about our community. This is about our family. This is about what this product or service may be able to offer the people and our customers that we're here to serve.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I'm very, very excited about the conversation we're going to have today with Rick Williams, who's an EQ mastery coach, entrepreneur, and business strategist. He's worked with high-performing business owners, artists, investors, and coaches, as well as personal brands, who's going to talk to us about his own journey on how he went from pain to purpose, how he's brought massive success in his own journey, and what role did sales play in part of making that journey a success. The man has served over 200,000 people by the time he was 25 when he created his business, has a history in bodybuilding, and really a personal transformation that we want to analyze, dissect, and see what are the key lessons we want to bring into our own life, in our own business, and in our own journey towards success. Rick, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Jason, it's great to be here with you.
I love how in the background we realize that we've had a lot of similar people we've encountered in the world of personal growth, but we're on a Sailing with Love podcast. So I'm going to go out the gate and ask, has sales played a big part in your journey towards the success you have now?
The first piece is like what I guess we're like looking at what is success and how do we really define what first sales is and what success is? Because I think both of those words have somewhat been tainted. I think when we use the word success, it can bring up images for me of whether it be a white picket fence I'm seeing right now or a Mercedes or a Lamborghini. I think those kind of get associated with success. And then when it comes to sales, I think there's an association with sales, meaning I'm trying to get you to do something. So if I was to redefine what both those words mean for me now, they have completely different connotations to what they did when I was 19, 20, 21, 22. And I think that's why I love the name of your podcast, Selling with Love, because it infers that we're doing this a different way. And I think success with love feels like fulfillment. And I think sales with love feels like service. So if we're talking about that, it's been a huge part of my journey. And it wasn't always that way. I've had a learning relationship both with success and with sales.
It's very interesting that the word sales, as you said, is very tainted, which is the big mission we have here on the show is, you know, a lot of people look at sales in such a negative way and it holds them back from having, you know, maybe a bit more abundance in their life, maybe connecting with better people or having that fulfillment that you speak about when you look at success with love. But as you said, it wasn't always that way. What were some of the initial conceptions you had about what sales were? And is that something that you experienced earlier?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up in the, say, like late 90s, early noughties, thinking of, you know, going to buy my first car and, you know, meeting a car salesman. And then just the association that I had with sales was people trying to get me to do things that I didn't want to do, whether that be when I go to a store, whether that be when I go to buy a phone, whether that be when I go to a technology store. It always felt like they were trying to get me to purchase something that would benefit them. So I also created that association, a negative association with sales. And it was really, it's kind of interesting to think about this, but I think it was really being a part of my own healing process, my own kind of transformational journey to redefine what sales means to me. And a part of that was actually me getting an integrity with my own soul in such a way that I was aligning myself with products and things that I actually believe in, as opposed to the stream of conditioning that I had grown up in. There had to be some deconditioning there. And realignment and reevaluation about what's actually important to me. There's a spiritual transformational journey that's been inside of this for me too, which I've not really thought about so much until kind of being here on the podcast with you.
I think for a lot of people to be able to grasp what happens when that alignment happens, I'd be curious to know, what was the point where you found yourself with a product you actually loved selling, and what were kind of the results that happened when that start of click? Because I know when you're not in alignment, oftentimes it feels like an uproad battle. But when you start being aligned around selling something you absolutely love to the kind of people you actually love serving, things seem to move at a different pace.
Yeah, I think my first insight to that was really kind of my first company or kind of insight into business. I mean, it wasn't a real business, but it was certainly my foot into being an entrepreneur. And that when I was 14, 15, I managed to get our gaming team sponsored by a company called Liquid Lightning. And we got flew around the States to play video games. It was an awesome experience being a teenager. And inside of that, I mean, it was really easy to sell us as a team. We were awesome and we loved what we did. And for the right company, it was an incredible opportunity to get their brand out there in front of their ideal audience. It was such a win-win experience. So that was probably my first experience. Then my second experience, after kind of having some bad sales jobs and just some generally, like some of my teenage jobs, I was working in a call center just to make some money and selling products that I didn't believe in. And eventually started another company when I was 20, 21 in the fitness industry, which it was an epic product. We essentially in the UK made it possible for people to buy proteins and vitamins at literally half the cost. And I secured deals with all of the top brands because we had a lot of social visibility. I mean, we were doing viral stuff before this was like commonplace. So we were kind of ahead of the curve in terms of where we were as kind of young adults, if you will. And I was able to secure just like the best deals in the whole of the UK. So if you had my discount card, which eventually became like an app and a website, then you would undoubtedly get the best deals in the UK. It was guaranteed. It was in all my contracts. So that was so easy to sell because having at that time not growing up or not having had much money in order to be able to facilitate my own health journey, it was something I was really passionate about, being able to make that more affordable and more accessible to more people. And it was an epic product. Therefore, it was like super easy to sell and I could make it a win-win for the supplement companies. And then I was making it an incredible offer for the actual client. And because of that, it blew up.
Nice. I can even hear in the voice, like you light up as soon as there is that match. Like when you know it's the best offer for the people, you automatically come more alive. And emotions are very different when you're selling. Say you went back to a call center, you said the product wasn't necessarily the best, and it seems like the energy is even lower. Now, when you know it's the best product ever, your energy is higher. And the success of closing shifts dramatically just because of how you've perceived that. And so how much do you see people who have a decent product are still in the mindset of not seeing the amazingness that it brings? And do you have any exercises you recommend for people who need to get to that level of emotion, energy, so that they get ecstatic about what they're selling?
Well, this is where it becomes interesting. And whether it be sales or business, I also believe can be a deeply spiritual journey, just like relationship can. These different vehicles can be mirrors and reflections for us to be able to see where we're maybe resisting. I mean, it's going to be different for everyone, but I know for me on my journey and for what I also see in my clients, sometimes they actually really believe in their product and service. But yet the thing that they need to do to take that product and service to its next level might require them to have more visibility. I mean, I was just speaking to a client an hour ago, and this is what we're working through. And his product and service is like next level. In fact, we love it. It's an incredible product. And in order to take it to the next level, it requires our beliefs, our nervous system, our identity to be on board with that being a success. So sometimes we have visibility fears. Sometimes we have self-worth fears, like, am I worthy of this? Sometimes we just have fear of change, period, that it's going to create something new. And all of these different dynamics personally then show up in terms of like the product and service that we have to offer with the world. And I think this is where it becomes beautiful as we start to really see our products as offerings, you know, really see our services, if we're in alignment, to being something that can really support and help people. whether that be in health or fitness or in personal development or in any field. I mean, if that's not in alignment, you're probably not in the right business. If you don't truly believe that your product is here to support and help people in whatever way that might be. And that can also be entertainment. I mean, entertainment supports people, music supports people. And once we're clear on that, if that's actually the piece and we feel like we've got it, well, then we can use that as a reflection to be like, wow, like, is there something here within me that is currently limiting my clients, my family, my community from being able to experience whatever it is that we have to offer? And I know I personally find a lot of motivation in feeling into the people that I am surrounded by, whether that be my friends or whether that be my wife. Because it helps me get out of my own way. It helps me find that deeper part of myself, which is like, okay, cool. Like, this is more than just about me. This is about us. This is about we. This is about our community. This is about our family. This is about what this product or service may be able to offer the people and our customers that we're here to serve.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I mean, to me, like, the first thing you need to love is the impact you make with what you do. So I resonate with that. And you keep speaking about, you know, how we seem to get more in our own way. And it's funny because oftentimes when I'm teaching stuff around sales, I'm thinking about, okay, you need to set up these systems. You need to set up these processes. You need to learn these tricks that makes you more efficient at selling. And although those all have massive improvement, like if I'm working with someone that is already making like $1 to $5 million and I start applying systems, processes, and techniques to increase their revenue, increase their profits, it's super effective. I've noticed, especially at the lower income levels, I can share all the best techniques, but there's resistance, there's self-sabotage. And I feel like it's not always very tangible, but it's like the shift in that is like the difference between zero and one. It doesn't matter if I give so many strategies or techniques to someone that's at like the zero. You multiply by zero, it's still zero. So I'd be curious, what are the biggest milestones you've seen need to move on a mindset perspective or from seeing someone that's sabotaging themselves mentally? Because the mental game is so big that someone can start paying attention and realizing, hey, I can make some shifts there to actually start selling.
I think the first piece is recognizing that it's not a mental game. It's not a mind game. It's a heart mind game. And that's an important distinction because I'm never moved by my mind. I don't know about you or anyone listening. I'm never really moved by my mind, at least not for long. I'm moved by my heart. And I think our friends, family, customers are also moved by that. So I think the perspective is actually a shift to heart mind perspective, which also then supports us to get out of our own way. Cool. It's like, I mean, if we were to go to the gym or something together, I bet we'd have a better workout if it's me and you there versus just one of us alone. Why is that? Because we're communal beings. It's not survival of the fittest. It's survival of the most cooperative. That's the reason that we are the apex species on this planet, is because that we cooperated better than any other species. So there's that piece. And I think in order for us to move into this next phase of where we're growing as a culture and where we're growing as a civilization, I think there is greater levels of attunement to recognize that the difference between care and manipulation. I think people's nervous systems are attuned to that now very astutely. And I think there's a repulsion to the old way. And I think there's a desire for something new, which I think is why your podcast is doing so well, is because there is a desire for selling with care, selling with love, versus selling with fear or selling with, really what we're looking at there in terms of like also compassion for that, is most of our species has been living from the hormones of stress. So norepinephrine and cortisol. And that's really just selling with stress. So most people who are out there in the world are living in a state of stress. They're living from survival. Therefore, it's very predictable that they're going to end up following that suit when it comes to supporting and serving others. There's still a part of them that's living in that survival place. Therefore, it can be very difficult for someone in that space to get out of their own self-centered needs and to really care and think about the other person that they're in front of. However, when either we grow up or we start developing more or we find greater levels of safety internally or in our environment, that can then open us up to selling with oxytocin, selling with serotonin, selling with love. Because from that space, those are just the hormones of connection, personal happiness. And serotonin, oxytocin is also about the we space. That's why when we're with your partner or a friend and you're hugging or spooning or watching a movie or having some laughs or whatever it is that you do, we feel that we naturally feel an upliftment. Why? Because the neurochemistry of love is online. And I think what we're desiring, and certainly what I'm desiring, is to see more and more and more of that in the world. But in order for me to see more and more of that in the world, I have to first walk and talk like that too. I have to vote with my dollars in terms of companies I believe in. I have to sell things only that I believe in and walk that path of alignment to greater and greater degrees.
I've noticed my own behavior shift. So interestingly enough, you mentioned about your history as a gamer. I also consider myself a casual gamer. And I've looked at my buying behavior when it comes to video games is now not even about just, oh, it's the game that looks the coolest. I'm looking at who are the developers behind it. What kind of like passion do they have around the project? And we've been seeing a lot of disasters happening in this industry of people releasing games that just aren't resonating with the core audience. And I find myself gravitating towards the smaller studios that really care about the product they develop. I don't think that's something happening in just that industry. And I'm wondering, I mean, you've been in the fitness industry, you're obviously a coach now. Are you seeing this as a trend happening across all industry where people are just going beyond just the product?
I think from what I see, and there's a sector of our population at the moment who are becoming more self-aware, who are becoming more heart-centric, who are becoming more attuned and aware of patterns of stress. And I think they're choosing, whether it be friends or communities or products that are actually in alignment, they're actually in energetic alignment, not to sound too woo-woo, but that's what it is. It's there are nervous systems which we're attuning to. Whenever we go into a group and we're like, ah, these people feel safe. Oh, these people feel connected. Wow, those people feel a little stressed. They're not so much for me. And we're making those assessments, you know, at like prior to our conscious mind being able to be aware of that. And I think because people are becoming more aware, because people are aligning their lives with foods, products that support their life to thrive, that support their body to thrive, that support their heart and mind to thrive, then I think that starts to ripple out, because I think there's a greater shift in hundreds of thousands, millions of people's identity towards that. Therefore, I think there is like a new bubble being created in terms of what people are desiring, which is probably what we're seeing in the gaming field. It's what we see in the food industry. It's what we see happening in the fitness industry. I mean, it's even what we see happening on social media as well.
Yeah. As a business owner, entrepreneur, someone running an agency, having the top tier website is very important. And you're more than likely running your business on WordPress. But are you hosting on the best platform possible? That's why I'm excited to bring Kinsta as our sponsor for today's podcast, which allows you for faster load time, top tier security, and human only best in class customer support. So if you're looking to have your website hosted on WordPress on the best platform, Kinsta really goes above and beyond to make sure your websites load fast, your SEO is working well, you get the support you need, and you get to keep focused on your business. Are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get the free month when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com and get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. I consider myself very fortunate to be in a position where I have the luxury of being able to choose where I live. I can discern what products I buy and sometimes can even pay a slight premium to get something that aligns with my values. And it seems when you're not in that, call it your heart space, where you can take a moment and attune to what's more energetically aligned, if your mindset's already in scarcity, it's almost like that possibility doesn't exist. And there's a part of me that wants to reach out. And I've seen what happens when you expand beyond the me and start considering the we. I can see how you start having, you know, invisible assets, as Ken Honda mentions, where the people that you have around you, the communities you build, support each other. You start having more abundance come your way as well. But it's almost like you're blind to that possibility You're looking at your immediate needs. You're feeling that scarcity. And I'm wondering if there's practices or examples of things you can do. If I'm listening to this being like, that sounds nice for you, but in my situation, I can't even think of that. I just need to pay the mortgage.
Yeah. Which is completely relatable. And it makes sense. And if we're wanting to move beyond that, we have to look at, and I think we are in a moment upon which we are recognizing that we have been emotionally, psychologically, spiritually illiterate. We've been in a kind of spiritual, emotional dark age, if you will. And I think we're beginning to recognize that there are tools, there are ways upon which we can learn to either find greater levels of peace or learn how to basically regulate our nervous system so that we can come back and cohere into a deeper state of connection, because like does attract like. Fear attracts fear. I mean, if you walk into a bar and you're in a bad mood, the studies on this, you're more likely to get into a fight. Or there's a fight more likely to emerge in your environment. If you walk into a situation, you're calm, you're confident, you're grounded. This could be with your spouse or a friend. What's more likely to happen? If something emerges and you're able to hold that ground and you're able to hold that connection, most likely something will happen and then it'll just rectify itself very simply. Because our nervous system is determining the thoughts and is determining how other people are reading us. And then from there, reality is emerging itself. And there's also, I mean, there is a field beyond that as well, which I imagine Ken was talking about, that is attracting in the field. And I mean, the latest quantum mechanics and mathematics are starting to begin to recognize and be able to quantify the unquantifiable, you know? And I think we're beginning to recognize that that field is real. And even at a very practical level, that field that we are in impacts the field of the people that we're with in terms of how they respond to us. So to answer your question, and I mean, I train every one of my clients in this, and I have an app which actually trains people to do this for free called the Toolbox. And the basic skills really of transformation, or at least of transformation is to firstly learn how to regulate our nervous systems. Because what we're really doing there, if you want me to break it down a little further, is we have to learn, we don't have to, but it's really supportive to learn how to take states of stress, and there's activated stress, which is a sympathetic response, and then learn how to bring that back into connection. So we can take stress, activation, bring it back into connection. And that can be fired and wired until you learn how to do that. It's a conditioned response. Normally what happens is we get stressed and then we don't know how to get out of it, or we go to the gym, or we get angry and that's a way to outburst it. There's other ways of offloading stress, but there are more skillful ways where we can take that stress, and even before it gets all the way to number 10, start feeling it as 7 or 8. You're able to take some breaths. You're able to resource from your heart, again, cohering with the heart. And you're able to bring that into a state of connection. That's an incredibly powerful thing for someone to be able to do. Very useful too. And then the other piece is states of deactivation, which is also a stress response, but it's a deactivated stress response where we start shutting down. That's where depression lives. That's where withdrawal lives. That's where I'm kind of pushing back. That's where I'm not reaching out. That's where we're, you know, maybe staying in bed for a day or two. That's a deactivated response. If we can learn how to start to bring that deactivated response back into a state of connection, you start firing connection, love, with deactivation, with depression. Well, if there's connection there, if there's love there, it's no longer depression. And the same in reverse. If you take states of stress and you're able to bring it back into connection, it's no longer stress. It might be excitement. And these can be fired and wired. I mean, I did it with my own nervous system. I support my clients in doing the same thing. And that's baseline. That's like the baseline skill that we have to begin to learn en masse, individually and en masse as a species, because the discoherence that we're seeing out there, whether it be politically, socioeconomically, the discoherence that we're seeing out there is really just a reflection of lots of people's emotional, psychological discoherence within here. So to answer your question, from that space, once you can learn that basic skill from stress to connection, from deactivation to connection, once you learn that basic skill, then it becomes a lot easier because then you can start operating more and more and more from that space so that you can start selling with love.
I like that. And what I'm going to do is the toolbox, we'll put a link to the app so you guys can grab it. It's absolutely free. And matter of fact is you realize there's so many tools that are out there accessible. And I'd say this is the golden age for information, but we're seeing that even all this information being available, actually putting it to use in the times that you need to use it might not be as high of a rate that you would hope to see those mega shifts happening. And I almost feel like the current state of the world, as you said, is like the final pressure cooker to get people to wake up and step up. Like it's getting past to a point that it's like, oh, wait, this is now starting to affect me personally. Maybe I need to do something about it. Do you have a kind of opinion of what you're seeing in the world? And do you have a positive or negative light on current events?
I think I'm seeing a very similar thing to you and probably most people listening is that, yeah, it feels like we're in a pressure cooker. And most people change when there's enough pressure or there's enough desire and why that's pulling them. And I think we have a choice moment right now. We can continue to wait for the pressure cooker to build until we're like, this is impacting me a lot now, and then some people will change. Or we can start taking action before that because we're feeling enough of it, but also then allowing our hearts to pull us into a better direction. And I see that happening en masse. I mean, the conversations that we're having, I mean, I've seen some of the other guests on your podcasts. If we go look at any of the top podcasts in the world, we're seeing the same conversation. We're talking about healing. We're talking about trauma. We're talking about becoming more self-aware, to becoming more loving, to becoming more connected. I mean, these are topical conversations. We're even talking about plant medicine as a potential tool and support for this journey that we're on. So these are mainstream topics. Now, I don't know about you guys, but 10 years ago, these were not conversations that existed online. They were very rare, far and few between. It's kind of like, if you remember back to maybe 2005, what we thought was healthy in terms of food en masse in terms of the population was very different. I used to think pasta with vegetables and a pre-cooked meal that says one of my five a day was a healthy meal. And I mean, I think that's what most people thought at that time, because we didn't have the education. Now, the internet opened that up completely. Podcasts opened that up completely. And it took a little while, but then eventually, now you go to a supermarket, there's health products everywhere. And I think the same is happening in terms of our own emotional, psychological, spiritual development. I think these conversations have been had in some of the biggest media channels in the world. We're becoming more aware. And then the next piece is more and more of us actually just taking, putting our hand up and say, look, I take responsibility for my emotional, psychological, spiritual health. And I'm going to be the change in this generation because none of my ancestors turned around and learned those skills. I'm going to be the one that learns that as a skill set because I'm aware enough to recognize that even if it's just as simple as this, when I'm in a bad mood, that impacts my wife or that impacts my friends or that impacts my spouse. When I'm in a good mood, when I feel like more of who I truly am, that has a positive ripple on those around me. So can I at least get out of my own way enough to be able to make those changes and make those commitments to learn the skills of how to be more of who we truly are, which I truly believe is the path. I think that's what we're coming to recognize. Where I don't know about you guys, but I feel more me when I'm in my heart than I do when I'm in my head.
100%. But it also is like so many temptations around that bring you back into your head. I mean, with all the social media stuff that's coming out, the news that's coming out, everything that seems to be getting us back into this fight or flight, like everything is a crisis every day. And it's not something new. I mean, the media has always played that role for a long time. It's what we're drawn to. And I even see it in sales, which is like, you know, you want to sell from the heart. You want to sell from love. These sound good, but sometimes you get back into that desperation and then you feel like you need to close the sale or you start trying to manipulate the person as opposed to lead them. And I think coming back to your toolbox and that emotional regulation of the nervous system is probably the key here, because if you don't have that, it's easy to fall back into being like, what is it, your reptilian mind. And now you forget what works, but you go into things that make you sound desperate. And I think we've all had an encounter with a salesperson that is desperate and it just doesn't feel good. And so, yeah, I'm hoping that a lot of people are going to be picking up the cues from what we're discussing here, saying like, hey, shifting that, getting into the right space when it comes to our nervous system, being able to constantly be reminded of what actually works, which is selling from the heart, which is selling with love. And in your case, I want to focus a bit on your own kind of mission right now, because I know you have a big emphasis on supporting men and bringing men leadership forward. And I'd be curious to know, how much do you see, you know, the crisis of masculinity, you could say, play a role into helping us get to that next level, to be able to fix what we're seeing in this pressure cooker so people step into the heart? Because masculinity can often be seen more of like a warrior mindset that could be perceived as violent, but I think there's a bigger role here.
Me and my wife last week just saw the new Mufasa movie. And I think it's a great movie for many reasons. I mean, I'm an old Lion King fan myself. But I think in terms of the archetypes, because really that's what stories are. They're archetypes within us that are reflected through story. And that's why we relate. We relate to the characters because they're really reflecting a part of our own personal, but also collective psyche. And in the movie Mufasa, I won't spoil the movie for anyone, but the way that he becomes king is by integrating his power with his heart. And he becomes the king of the people, because a real king is a servant king. Just like the word hero comes from the word servo, which translates to servant, hero servant, king servant. And that's really for and of the people. It's an offering of oneself. It's a courageous act in and of itself. There's real vulnerability inside of that. And there's real power and strength inside of that too. And my sense is, from my own study of life and from my own study of archetypes, whether it be Mufasa or others, that it's the combination of love and power that really creates change. And my sense is, in regards to masculinity, again, I think we're going through a swing, right? Everything swings. And I think we swung towards power in an unhealthy way. And then we're like, that's not good. And I think culture and women, friends, family, boys, men were like, that's not good. Dad hurt me, or these men hurt me, or this isn't healthy. And I think we saw that. So we're like, yeah, let's not do that. And I think then we pushed that away for good reason. But then I think we also lost in some of that the beautiful qualities that can exist inside of masculine power. However, it only really works, similar to the name of your podcast, again, if the heart's online. If your power is in service of love, yeah, that's Mufasa. If your heart is in service of yourself, well, that's his brother Scar, right? So again, it comes back to whether we call it regulation of the heart, whether we call it nervous system regulation, whether we call it heart-mind coherence. There's a part here, which I think men are also interested in learning now, is, okay, cool. How do we do that? How do we bring our hearts online in a beautiful, but also powerful way? And I think when more men start doing that, we'll create safer spaces, because safety is complex, right? Safety is us having enough care and attunement, like enough care for one another. But safety is also like, I mean, if something's happening, I fucking got you. Like, I got you. That's also safety, right? It's a different type of safety, more associated with masculine qualities, not necessarily men or women, but more associated with masculine qualities. That's a sense of protection. Now, when the heart's online, that's beautiful. I think that's what people are yearning for, is that sense of power being in service of the heart, being in service of our families, being in service of the good, the true, and the beautiful.
I'm really hoping that for those of you listening have taken the information we've shared today into a way of really being reminded of what are the things that will allow you not only to have more success in the way that you sell, but to find more fulfillment in every time you're building your business and that you're trying to grow something that makes a positive impact. Rick, I think the entire conversation has been a big reminder about how much the nervous system plays a role. And if you're not connected to the heart in any way, that you'll be met with resistance, not only from your sales, but even in your own motivation to move forward in your business. You'll be lacking that kind of satisfaction from the efforts that you're putting forward. And I think that again, it doesn't matter how many techniques, how many strategies, what's the latest thing you should be doing? Is it to do SEO or to integrate AI or to do that webinar or to build that funnel? None of it matters if it's not connected to the heart, and you're going to be resisting it every step of the way, whether it's because you're responding in too aggressively or you're completely dissociated with what you're doing in business. You're resisting picking up the phone because you're not heart aligned to it. And I think that's the biggest wake-up call that I'm hoping people listening to the show get to understand, and that they get to bring forward every time they go and make that sale, realizing it is in service. It is to bring your power. It is to lead people towards making a change. And that brings me to a question I ask every single guest that does come on the show, which is, given that you're on the Selling with Love podcast, what would be your definition of selling with love?
Before we do that, can we quickly do something? Because I'd love to give people a quick experience of what we've been talking about. Do we have time for that?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So because we've been talking about this, again, a part of this is getting it from our brains into our bodies. And we can do this so simply. And the reason that getting the heart, getting the nervous system on board is so powerful is because it bypasses all of the other things that we might need to do to change. It's like, oh, I need to believe this about myself, or, oh, I need this story to be changed about myself. When we bring ourselves into coherence, when we regulate our nervous systems into our hearts, connected, powerful, strong, from that place, we have a different identity. We have different beliefs. We have different stories. And then from there, we act differently. So right now, as long as you're not driving, but I mean, you could kind of play along with us. If you're not driving, drop your head a little bit and drop your shoulders and kind of like let your nervous system just kind of like sink down. Like imagine yourself, you're just kind of deactivating. Just take a breath or two there. And from here, what do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about sales? What do you believe about your business? I believe my business is. I believe I am. And just notice what kind of comes up. Then take a nice big breath in. I'm going to shake that out. Big breath in. Take it out. Okay. Now, shoulders back a little. Chin down, head up. Take a nice big breath into your heart. One more time. Nice big breath into your heart, into who you truly are. You can even remember a moment, a time, could be this week, this month, just some time in your life where you felt so connected, so loved. Could be with a sunset, could be with a friend, could be with a partner. Could be a moment by yourself where you felt so loved, so connected. Let's take one more breath into the heart. And then from here, I believe I am. I believe my business is. I believe people are. And just notice, see if you can notice that your thoughts may have shifted a little bit. The things you're thinking about, the things you're noticing may have changed. Because when we change our state, when we change our nervous system, the thoughts and beliefs follow from that space. So if you're going into a sales call, a sales meeting, whatever it is that's relevant to your business today, just try it for a minute before you go in. Think of some memories of connection. Think of why you're really here. Take a few breaths into your heart and then walk in from that space and just play with that. See what happens.
Nice. Well, that's a great way to end our session. I even had a couple shifts. I realized immediately, I'll tell you, one of the things that shifted for me from just doing that is where I immediately found myself thinking about the clients was after doing the exercise being like, my clients are extremely resourceful, intelligent, and capable. And I think one of my bad habits is sometimes I feel when I'm selling, it's like I'm trying to save people that can't save themselves. And doing that exercise just made me step into like, hold on a second. No, everyone's amazing. I can support them. I shouldn't be trying to feel like I'm on a pedestal when I sell to them, which I think is a fault that I do. And just doing that exercise made me have that shift, and it already makes me think about the event I'm running, how I can actually show up differently just by being reminded of that fact. So thank you, Rick. That was good.
I mean, super simple too, right? I mean, we just took some breaths into our heart.
Well, it's so interesting because, you know, coming into this conversation, we made a lot of points and we talked about a lot of things. And, you know, it's great that you're going to be sharing the toolbox. But what you've just demonstrated is we're not talking about asking you to completely change everything. Maybe just taking this few seconds to do the exercise we just did. I already know just that little shift in mindset has already made a ripple effect on how I'm going to prepare for this webinar and just show up, which will bring more results, and not just from my business, but for everybody who's going to be attending. And that took, what, 2 minutes? And I think we sometimes overcomplicate what needs to be done. And so thank you for the gift.
My pleasure, brother.
But I can't let you go without answering that question, so I'm going to ask it again. Rick, what does selling with love mean to you?
I think we've been talking about it here this whole time. I think selling with love for me means that I'm not actually selling. Well, I am, but I'm offering something that I feel would be of great benefit in someone else receiving it. And because of that, because of my connection to it, because of my alignment to it, the giving of it in itself feels amazing to me. And then it's infusing whatever I'm doing. If that's true for me, which it is for what I do in my life, then everything created from that space, from my experience, from my lived experience, is astronomically, yes, astronomically better from that space. From love. The giving is the gift as it is receiving it. And I think that's what real selling is.
Rick, it's been a pleasure connecting with you and having you join the show. Thank you for the experience and for everything that, as I mentioned before, if you're listening to this and there's struggle, there's a quick exercise you can do, and we've done it right here on the podcast. We're going to put a link to the toolkit and more resources for you to follow Rick, discover a lot of the tools that he offers. And truly, it's learning to regulate the nervous system. That's my biggest takeaway, and realizing that once you do that and you reconnect with the heart, if you're feeling any kind of procrastination, that usually starts putting you in emotion. If you're feeling emotionally charged and responsive and reacting, regulating the nervous system, again, makes you make a more powerful decision that's of service. Making sure that connection to the heart is always there. If you're mostly into the head, you're not going to tap into the ultimate power, the ultimate potential. And I think that is a powerful lesson and a great reminder. Rick, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing. It's been an absolute pleasure reconnecting.
My absolute pleasure, brother.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.